morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Hey, I have a question for you. Do you have a dream for your life and for your future? Has God given you a verse, a vision, a word from the Word about what He wants to do in you and through you? I believe that everyone needs a biblical vision so that they can press on, as Paul said in Philippians 3, press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. You and I need to have a vision from the Word of what God wants to do in us and through us, because that keeps us going when the going gets tough. Now, I preached a series of sermons some years ago on the life of Joseph. I called it Dreams and Detours or something like that. I can't remember, going off memory here. But it was about the life of Joseph, and Joseph's life starts out in Genesis 37. We read about him. He's the 11th son of his father, Jacob. You know, remember, Jacob's name got changed to Israel, and Israel is going to have 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's where we get those from. Israel is a, you know, Israel's a nation, but Israel was a guy. It was Jacob whose name got changed to Israel. Jacob, whose name was trickster, supplanter, con man, heel grabber, his name got changed to Israel. And Israel means prince with God, or as G. Campbell Morgan said, it means he's a God-mastered man. He gets that from Genesis 32, when Jacob wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord, who's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, gave him that name Israel, because you prevailed against God, or you wrestled with God and prevailed. So in Genesis 37, we read about Joseph. Now, Joseph is born into a dysfunctional family. Did you come from a dysfunctional family? Well, you have a lot in common with Joseph. In Joseph's family, you have children from four different women. So you talk about a blended family, and they're all living under the same roof, so to speak. And so Jacob fell in love with Rachel way back when, and he was thinking that Rachel's dad, Laban, was going to let him marry Rachel. He was working for Laban, and when he went to marry Rachel, the love of his life, Laban did the old switcheroo and gave him Leah, his oldest daughter. And Jacob, I don't know what was going on there, but he didn't know until the morning after he consummated the marriage with the person he thought was Leah or Rachel, and he finds out it's her sister. And it's the scripture says that Rachel was beautiful in form and face, but Leah had weak eyes. It's hard to know what exactly that means. I kind of look at it this way. Leah had weak eyes. That means she looked a whole lot better in the dark. And so Rachel is the one that has his heart. Well, he marries Leah. He has to. And then he has Rachel too. And Leah is fertile myrtle. Leah's having kids. Rachel can't have any kids, or doesn't have any kids for a long time. He has a bunch of sons, six sons with Leah. And so Rachel says, well, I'm not having any kids, so here's my maid, Bilhah. What a name, huh? Bilhah. And have children with my maid, and that'll be like my kids. So he has two children with Bilhah. And then Leah says, well, I'm kind of shut down here on the baby front, so here's my maid, Zilpah. Have relations with her. He has two sons with Zilpah. And then Rachel, lo and behold, she gets pregnant, and she has Joseph. And Joseph is daddy's favorite. Why? Because he's the firstborn of the woman he really loves. Those other three women didn't have his heart, but Rachel did. And so Joseph is daddy's favorite. And then Rachel has another son before she dies, about 7 years younger than Joseph. His name was Benjamin. He's the last of the lot. And so 12 sons of Jacob, 12 sons of Israel. And here in Genesis 37, the story and the narrative in Genesis shifts from Jacob primarily to Joseph. And Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is an amazing guy in Scripture, because nothing bad is ever said about Joseph. It's kind of like when you read about Daniel. You know, Daniel chapter 6, they were trying to find corruption and dirt on Daniel. They went through his life with a fine-tooth comb, the guys that hated him, and they couldn't find anything to accuse him of, because he was such a righteous and moral person. And so they said, you know, hey, there's no dirt on Daniel. Well, that's the way it was with Joseph. There was no dirt on Joseph. Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And the Egyptians call him Zarephath-Paneah, which literally means savior, because he saved them in the time of famine. But here's the thing about Joseph that we remember about Joseph. God gave him a dream. And the dream was that his brothers would bow down to him. And so he tells his brothers this dream. He said, verse 5 of Genesis 37, "Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more." His brothers hated him because he was daddy's favorite. And they hated him because in Genesis 37, 2, they were tending the flock and Joseph was with them. And Joseph brought back a bad report to his dad about his brothers. He tattled on his brothers for something that they were doing that they shouldn't have been doing. I don't know what it was. Maybe they were drinking. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. But he gave a bad report to his father, Jacob, about his brothers. And his brothers didn't like that. And then to top it all off, Joseph gets a birthday present from daddy, a coat of many colors, and the brothers get zip. And hey, dad didn't get me anything for my birthday, but for Joseph's birthday or whatever it was some kind of special event that Joseph alone got a gift. So they hated him because he was daddy's favorite. They hated him because he had a gift. They hated him because he tattled on them. And they hated him even more because he had a dream. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Three times it says in Genesis 37 that his brothers hated him, and they hated him, and they hated him even more, and they hated him even more than they hated him before. It's just all this hatred toward Joseph, and they really hated the fact that he had a dream. Because his dream sounds very arrogant. You're going to bow down to me. But the dream was what God gave him. And I believe that it is critical that every Christian has a dream, a word, a verse, something, a vision, something that the Lord puts in your heart. You know, as you spend time with the Lord, as you read His Word, there are going to be verses that jump off the page at you, that just, it's almost like they leap into your heart, and God says, "This is for you." I remember as a young Christian, I was so enamored with the narrative concerning David. David the shepherd boy, David the one who defeated Goliath, David the one who was king of all Israel, and the claim to David's fame was that he was a man after God's own heart. And I remember reading that and saying, "That's what I want to be, Lord. That's for me. I'm claiming this verse for me. I want to be a man after Your own heart. I don't want to, as I saw in so much in church, people just kind of embracing a Christian lifestyle. You know, I just want to be a good moral person and, you know, be around good moral people. I want to have a Christian lifestyle, almost like, you know, the Mormons kind of promote that, you know, good, clean living. I didn't want that. I wanted a Christian life. I wanted to have a vibrant life in the Lord, and I wanted to be a man after his own heart. So that was the first thing the Lord kind of put down in me. And then I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry. And then I had this call from the Lord, this word from the Lord that he wanted me to preach his word. And I was overwhelmed with that. Well, how great is that? And then God gave me a vision and a word. It was through a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, Artis Havard, a wonderful friend. And he told me one day, I'd been at Champion Forest. I was there for 5 years before I came to First Baptist Texarkana. But he called me one day and he said, I preached on Sunday nights. Damon Shook was very gracious to train me, mentor me, and he would let me preach on Wednesday nights. And so Artis called me one day and he said, Jeff, he said, I really think you ought to be on the radio. And I was like, wow, I'm very honored that you would think that. I said, I don't know how that would come about. He said, well, I just want you to think about that because you need to get those sermons out and you need to get those on the radio. Well, God used that, just a word from a dear friend who loved the Lord that planted in my mind media ministry. And how can God use this? When I came to First Baptist Texarkana in 2003, one of the things when I was interviewing in late 2002, one of the things that really caught my attention was the church had a television ministry. And they had a television ministry that began in 1959. People didn't even get televisions in many homes until about the mid-50s. And so to have a TV ministry for a church in 1959, especially a town that's relatively small in Texarkana, Texas, that was a big deal. And so it was broadcast out of Shreveport, and it hit that Shreveport, Arklatex area. And so anyway, I said, man, that's pretty cool. And so the Lord brought me here in February of 2003, started working not only in the church, but in the television ministry, say, hey, if we're going to be on TV, let's make this as good as it can possibly be. This is an opportunity to reach way outside the walls of the church, to reach people who are shut in, to reach people in hospitals, to reach people in prisons, just people in hard-to-reach places. And so the Lord began to bless that. And then in late 2004, we began From His Heart Ministries with our first broadcast in 2005 on one station. And God had put that dream in my heart to broadcast the gospel, not only in the church, but way outside the walls of the church through radio, through television, and now with digital, so many digital platforms. But here's the question that I want you to consider. Do you have a dream? Joseph had a dream. Do you have a word from the Lord, something that you're holding on to, something that God has given you that you're holding on to? You say, Lord, this is the desire of my heart. You know, God is a good God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, his desires become your desires. You mold yourself. The word delight literally means to make yourself soft and pliable. It's a picture of the master potter with soft, pliable clay. And when you and I are soft, pliable clay in the hands of the Lord, then he turns us however he wishes. He molds us into what he wants us to be, and he gives us the desires of our heart, because the desires of our heart are in tune with him and his will for our lives. And he gives us a word that we can hang our hat on, that is a vision for what God wants to do in my life. See, God made you for a purpose. He made you to glorify himself. Isaiah 43:7 tells us that. and He wants to use your life in special ways, in specific, special ways, because God is a God who is intimately acquainted with all our ways. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. And by God's grace, we're making a difference. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity will benefit you and help ensure AFA is in the fight for years to come.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Today's issues, offering understanding and encouragement.
To those of you who may be worried, let me remind you that our God reigns.
AFA President Tim Wildman is joined by a host of godly voices to help make sense of the news of the day.
Once they take the word experimental off of it, I might feel better about it.
Right. It's only a few outlets like you at American Family Radio that are bothering to report it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
Yeah, it's not just you. A lot of people are wondering why so many big corporations are actively promoting ideas and values that their own customers don't support. And honestly, this is another reason MediShare is so attractive to people who don't want to use their own healthcare dollars to pay for things they don't believe in. MediShare is the refreshing alternative. They're a nonprofit ministry. It's a community of like-minded Christians helping each other live healthy lifestyles. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they save a lot, too. Most families save around $500 a month. And member satisfaction surveys consistently show they like it much more than health insurance. So for you, maybe it's time. Find out how you can not only save, but freely choose to be part of something you believe in. Here's the number you can call now, 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about dreams and not some wild way out there stuff, but the dream that God has put in your heart, some vision, some verse, some word from the Word that God has put into your heart. Now, Joseph in the Old Testament, he is known for the dream that God gave him, and it was an actual dream. He went to sleep, and God gave him a dream, and it wasn't just like you and I go to sleep, and we have a dream that we're back in high school playing sports. Have you ever had that dream? I was an athlete in high school, and sometimes I have the dream that I'm back playing. Somehow they found another year of eligibility, and I'm not a broken down old pug. I'm back with knees that are strong, and I can run and jump and play, and it's just so fun. I think there's going to be basketball in heaven anyway, because I can't wait to play again. So Joseph has a dream that's different from that. It is a word from God for his life, and he recognizes that. Joseph is a godly guy, the most godly guy out of all his family. And so he shares that dream that his brothers are going to bow down to him. He shares that with them, and he shares it with his dad because God gives him two dreams. They're very similar, same type dream. They're all going to come bow down to him. Well, he shares that with the family, shares that with the brothers. His brothers hate him. And so, when God gives you a word and he gives you a dream and he gives you this vision for your life, you got to be careful who you share it with. You don't want to share it with people who hate you, because oftentimes a specific thing that God is going to do in your life, that can sound kind of braggadocious to people. That can sound like you think you're really something special, don't you? Well, bottom line is, if you're a child of God, you are something special. You're not special because of who you are. You're special because of who he is and the plan that he has for you. And so God will so often give us these little glimpses of what he's going to do in our lives, these visions that he places in our hearts. He did that for the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus and he first gets saved. You know, the word comes to Ananias, go to a street called Straight and pray for Paul. He's blinded and he's had an encounter with me. And he said, I don't want to do that. And he said, go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine. He's going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to kings. That was a glimpse of what God was going to do in Paul's life. And then he says, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. So in the vision for your life, in the plan for your life, there is suffering. Well, Joseph had suffering too. He didn't know it at the time. And this dream that his brothers are going to bow down to him and his dad is going to bow down to him too, well, that sounds like, wow, that's going to be pretty cool. But here's the thing about dreams and visions for your life. If where there is no vision, the people perish. And when we're pressing on toward what God wants us to do in our lives, your dream is often going to run into roadblocks, run into detours. You think about Joseph. His brothers called him that dreamer. Here comes that dreamer. They didn't like his dream at all. They wanted to kill him. Now let's see what's going to happen to your dreams. We're going to kill you, Genesis 37 tells us. But then they decided, no, we're not going to kill you. We're going to sell you into slavery. And they sold him to the Midianites, and the Midianites took him down to Egypt, and he ended up in Potiphar's house, and he's a slave. He's sold into slavery. What does he do? He says, okay, I don't understand how this fits in with the dream that God gave me, but I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to be the best slave that this guy Potiphar has ever had. And the Bible tells us repeatedly, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And so God blessed him. Potiphar recognized that. He said, hey, this guy has the favor of God on his life. I'm putting everything under his charge. And okay, so that's an elevation. Now I'm the number one slave, and he had a place of honor as in that position, and is a trusted slave. But then you know the story. Potiphar's wife, she's not given a name other than Mrs. Potiphar. She wants to have sex with Joseph. She recognizes he's a handsome man, and God's with him. And I mean, he's just he looks so good. And so she is trying to get him to go to bed with her. He won't do it. He said, I can't do this. I sin against God. And Potiphar has, he's entrusted me with everything under his roof except you. And how can I do this great evil and so sin against the Lord? Well, she grabbed him one day when all the other servants were out of the house. She grabbed him and she said, lie with me. And he said, no. And he spun out of his coat and ran. You know, when it comes to sexual immorality, the Bible tells us to flee that sin. And so that's what Joseph did. He ran away because it's too strong a sin. You can't fight sexual immorality. You flee sexual immorality. Well, she is a woman scorned. She lies about Joseph. She tells Potiphar, this guy tried to rape me. Obviously not true. Well, then Joseph ends up in prison. Good night. Well, I mean, things, could they get any worse? But it says that the Lord was with Joseph. He was there with Joseph in prison. And Joseph trusted God. And Joseph said, all right, this is where I am. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. And I'm going to become the best prisoner this prison has ever seen. And he becomes number one trustee. They put him in charge of everything. Why? Because the Lord is with him. And Joseph is an incredible manager and organizer and operational person. And so everything runs smoothly under Joseph's supervision. And then in prison, he meets two of Pharaoh's officials. One was a butler, one was a baker. they have a dream, and their dream isn't, they can't interpret it. So Joseph interprets it. He said, "Do not all dreams belong to God? Tell me, and I'll interpret." And so they tell him, first the butler tells him his dream, and Joseph interprets the dream, and it's a favorable interpretation. Hey, Pharaoh's going to bring you back, and you're going to be putting the cup back in his hand. And that's just wonderful. And he tells this guy, here's the thing. Remember me to Pharaoh. Remember me when you go back to Pharaoh, because I'm not supposed to be in here. I haven't done nothing wrong. But that guy forgot Joseph. You know, the baker also has a dream, but his wasn't very favorable. And Joseph was faithful to tell him, here's the interpretation of the dream. What's the word? Hasta la vista, baby. I mean, in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to cut off your head. And he's going to hang your body on a tree, and that's not good for you. But those things happen exactly what he said. And when the butler went back to Pharaoh's house to serve him, says he didn't remember Joseph but forgot him. And then it was at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler was able to tell Pharaoh. Nobody could interpret Pharaoh's dream, but the butler told Pharaoh, hey, there's a guy in the prison that knows how to interpret dreams. And so they call Joseph. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh elevates Joseph from the prison to the palace, to the number two guy in Egypt. And it happened, bam, in 1 day, he went from the prison to the palace. Here's one of the principles in Scripture. God, from our perspective, he seems to move so slowly. Joseph was 17 when he got sold into slavery. He was 30 years old when he became number two man in all of Egypt, Zarephath-Paneah, where they called him Savior because he had the plan for the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine that were coming upon Egypt and really the whole world. And he was about 40 years old when his brothers came down from Canaan to buy supplies, and they bowed down to Joseph. And so from 17, I have this dream, to 40, the dream is fulfilled. Wow. God, when he gives us a word, when he gives us a vision, he doesn't tell us when this is going to happen. He just tells us that it's going to happen. And so we just trust in his word. We cling to his word, and we know that there are going to be roadblocks. There are going to be detours on the way to fulfillment. That's okay. God is working in all those situations, and he was putting Joseph in the furnace of affliction so he could burn off all the dross, so he could teach Joseph to trust him even when when the bottom fell out. Now, here's what I've seen with people, and I've fought this in my own life. When God gives you a word from the word, a verse, a vision, a dream that he places in your heart, maybe it's like so many have, especially, you know, I had 3 daughters and my middle daughter especially, she had such a desire in her heart to be married to a godly man and to be a mom and a wife and a mom and have a wonderful family, a Christian home. Well, you know, you can't make that happen on your own. So she trusted the Lord, trusted the Lord, trusted the Lord. My oldest daughter, Jill, she got married very young. She was not even 20 years old. And the first guy that she dated, and that was one of her prayers, she told me later. She said, Dad, I didn't want to date a lot of guys. I wanted God to bring the guy into my life, and it would be the only guy I ever dated, the only guy I ever kissed. And God gave her that in my wonderful son-in-law, Jay. Well, so she didn't really have this agony of, you know, the dating scene and all that and waiting for Mr. Right. Sarah, my youngest daughter, she's just a guy magnet, so she always had guys, but Amy didn't have that. And so she had to really wait on the Lord, and things weren't happening. And we just said, listen, Amy, you remember the story of Ruth. God has a Boaz for you. You just be faithful in the field. You trust him. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so there were a lot of detours to her dream. But lo and behold, at church, she met this wonderful guy, Travis Van Hoy, 6'5", a man who loves the Lord and loves her. They fell in love and got married just a few years ago, and they are the proud parents of two baby boys, two grandsons, Jack Cannon Van Hoy and Chase Maverick. I love that middle name, Maverick. Chase Maverick Van Hoy. Jack just turned 2, and Chase is 5 months old. And God has blessed her, and he's fulfilled that desire in her heart. Listen, I don't know what God has put into your heart, but let me just encourage you, don't give up on the dream. Don't throw in the towel. I heard this phrase from Adrian Rogers years and years ago in a sermon. I've never forgotten it. He said this, "It is better to die in faith than to live in doubt and disbelief." It's better to die in faith. It's better to say, this is what I'm hoping for. This is the dreams God has given me. This is what I'm claiming that is going to take place in my life. You know, it's not name it and claim it. God names it, and then you claim it. But maybe that doesn't happen. That's okay. It's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. You don't want to say, well, God gave me this, but obviously this isn't going to happen because there's no way this can happen. You know, it would have been easy for Joseph to say, you know, that dream I had when I was 17, I must have had some some bad pizza or something, because no way in, I'm a slave in Egypt. No way this dream is going to take place. And then he's in the prison house. Now I'm a prisoner. I'm below a slave. Now I'm in the prison. No way can God reach me here. No way could God elevate me here. No way will I ever see this dream come to fruition. But the reality is, yes way, because God is the God of might and miracle. God can do anything in your life and my life if we'll just trust him. And remember this too. So it appears that God moves slowly, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting on the Lord. When God chooses to move, it's very rapid. And so that's when Joseph, he gets the call. Hey, Pharaoh's had a dream. He wants you to come interpret the dream. Clean yourself up and shave and make yourself presentable to Pharaoh. And so he does all that, and he interprets the dream. And then Pharaoh says, I'm going to promote you. You're going to be prime minister. You're going to be the greatest man in Egypt, second only to me. And paraded him around, and, you know, hail to Joseph. He's Zarephath-Pania. He's the Savior. And that all happened in a day. Pretty amazing. When God moves, it's very, very rapid. So let me just encourage you, if you are inclined to throw in the towel on the dream that God has put into your life, don't do it. Keep trusting him. God can do the impossible. And when all the circumstances say impossible, you just look at that word and remember this: impossible is I'm possible with God. And Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, great passage of scripture, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. God is able, more than able, to do more than you can ask, more than you can think. So let your mind out when you pray, and pray big, and trust God for big things. William Carey, the father of modern missions, who was the missionary to India in the 1700s, said this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. because God is the God who can do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I would love to hear from you if you have a question about this subject, about the dream, the vision that God may have given you. We need that so that we can press on in the Lord. Don't go away.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
In recent years, Christians have seen an accelerated assault on not just our core beliefs, but their very foundation. Now is the time to build on that foundation, strengthen our faith, and learn how to translate our beliefs into actions that engage the culture around us. That's the purpose behind this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit, Believe and Engage. Pray Vote Stand Summit is a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives, or SageCons. We'll hear from Christian leaders, worldview experts, government officials, and more. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. Together, we can believe and engage. Join us September 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C. for this pivotal event. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference. Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word. And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about dreams, the dream that God has put into your heart, that vision, that word from His Word that the Lord's just dropped in there and says, this is for you. And we've been looking at Joseph and his life and how God gave him a dream, actually two dreams, when he was 17 years old, Genesis chapter 37. And the dreams were actual dreams where he went to sleep and he had a divine encounter with the Lord. And the Lord showed him that his brothers were going to bow down to him one day. And Joseph didn't know how that figured in. He had no clue that that meant he was going to be the prime minister of Egypt and get there on a really wild way that we would never have come up with. God's ways are not our ways. But he had that dream, and that sustained him through the difficult times as a slave in Potiphar's house and as a prisoner in the Egyptian prison, until God elevated him and did it in one day from the prison to the palace. Well, we're Opening the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And love to hear from you about what God has put into your heart. Maybe you have a question or a comment. We can be encouraging to one another. And so we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I was wondering about the relationship between your spiritual gift and God's vision for your life. And also, I wondered if you would comment a little bit on how you counsel people to find their spiritual gifts. I had lots of questions along those lines. And other than prayer and meditation, I don't really know what to say.
Yeah. That's a good question, Jay. I do think that it's going to be along those lines. Now, if you have a dream like my daughter to be a wife and a mom, that may not be, you know, you could have a lot of different spiritual gifts for that. But I think like the dream that God gave me for preaching His Word, I had to be gifted from the Lord to do that. You know, one of the requirements for an overseer, 1 Timothy 3, is able to teach. And so you have to have the ability to teach and preach in order to be effective. And that has to come from the Lord. Now, there are a lot of ministries, those that have the gift of mercy. They might not be good at teaching, but they're very good at ministering to people because they can feel people's hurts and they have compassion and they can really pour out the ointment, so to speak, and you know, as Mary poured out the oil on Jesus' feet, that kind of thing. And so I do think so to answer your first question, I do think that those are connected. As far as finding your spiritual gift, okay, your spiritual gift, and everybody has one, 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so every Christian has a gift, and it's so wonderful to think about it. So when we give our lives to Christ, we get the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of all. But He doesn't come. The Holy Spirit comes with another present, and that is a spiritual gift, something, some divine enablement to benefit the body of Christ, and to whether it's service, behind-the-scenes stuff, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's administration, giving, whatever it might be. And God wants to use that in great ways. And so I always tell people, listen, if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, your spiritual gift is going to be something that you enjoy doing and something that you're naturally good at. You're just going to have a propensity to that. It can be raw. And so if you have the gift of teaching or preaching, well, you may not be great the very first time out, but people can sense, okay, you seem to be able to connect pretty well. And Debbie always laughs at me. She says, you know, Jeff, you can't remember where the bowls go in our house, but you can remember scripture. And that's just a gift from God. My mind is like flypaper when it comes to that stuff. I can remember where things are. I can memorize pretty well the scripture and be able to call that to mind quickly. Well, that's not because Jeff is so great. That's because God's given me the ability to do that. And so, Jay, I would just encourage you as you spend time with the Lord and just ask Him, Lord, show me. And here's the other thing about it. As you enter into places of service, whether it's teaching or singing or serving some aspect behind the scenes at the church, you can figure out, this is what I'm good at. This is what God, other people say that I'm good at. This is where I get a lot of joy and a lot of fulfillment. So guys that don't have the gift of teaching and preaching, if you stick them into a teaching, preaching role, they will hate it. And so will those that are listening to them, because it's like, this guy's a fish out of water. But when it is a good fit, then the person will be blessed and the hearers will be blessed. So is that helpful, Jay?
Yes, I think it is. Just start doing something and then somebody will tell you you're good at it, or just find something you really like doing. Just do something.
Yeah, and you know, the old expression, it's hard to steer a parked car. So if you're just parked, it's hard for God to guide you into what he wants you to do. But as you get out in the flow of traffic, he can show you, okay, I started teaching a seventh grade Sunday school class when I was in my early 20s. I learned pretty quickly. It took me just a few months to know that that's not where I'm gifted connecting with seventh graders. I needed people to be a little older, to have a job, and I wasn't as good. Some people are great connecting with kids, connecting with students. That wasn't my longest and strongest suit. But I didn't find that out until I got out in the flow of traffic, so to speak. And so I went from teaching seventh grade Sunday school to a few years later to teaching married adults, young married adults. And that was a much better fit for me. But I had to kind of get out in the flow to figure that out. So may God bless you, my brother, as you seek his face and as he opens doors for you to minister and to use the gift or the gifts that he's given you for his glory. So thanks for calling in. We have a first-time caller, Harley from Kentucky. Harley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All righty. I'm a blind guy, and I'm so happy I can't see straight. Did I say that? In other words, I like blind jokes. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
My mission is to spread the joy of the Lord through music and positive motivation all over the world one day at a time. I've been playing since I was 3 years old. I play piano, trumpet, and vocals. I used to own a recording studio, and God has blessed me with so much joy from spreading this type of things wherever I go. I play at two different churches and a small group, and I do a coffee house, and I love life, and I thank God that he chose me to work with me in this area. I have two projects out, Contemporary Christian and Light Jazz, and I appreciate the fact that you regularly have really heavyweights on your program as far as music. I remember the guitarist and the violin player. Man,
yeah.
I just was right up. I ate it up with a spoon and a fork, in other words.
Well.
I'm just a teenager. I'm just a teenager in an old man's suit, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Man, that is awesome, Harley. Okay, so you've been blind since birth?
Yes, and it's always different for people that have been blind since birth, and those who are blinded later go through a tremendous culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
So I was blinded basically from birth, and I started playing music at 3 years old. I'm 68, and I have a beautiful daughter, Amy, and she's 28 now. She's all grown up. And,
yeah.
And I'm married to Ann, and so I just praise God for
that. That is awesome. So I was, you know, with your great countenance and disposition, I was thinking about the Fanny Crosby poem that she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I shall be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." And
I love it. I'm going to learn that. You watch me. I'm going to go try and find that song and learn it.
Yeah.
I still write songs. I'm going to write a song about people prospering in the city where they're at. You know, there was them just blessing the city that you're in, like God told the people in Babylon.
Right.
Plant houses. Okay, thank you. To plant cities, plant vineyards, and marry and bless the city that they're in. When
right.
they were over there in captivity, how much more who are free, get out there and bless the cities where we are.
Amen. Great word, Harley. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in today, and may God continue to use you in great ways.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, we have Cassandra on the line from Texas. Cassandra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I really enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give a shout-out for the fella. I guess it was a fella that called in about his daughter. Oh, no, it was you that said your second daughter waited to date. Was you?
Yes.
Yes. So our daughter, we have one daughter, and I just want to encourage all the young women out there. You know, there's such pressure today, and our daughter was going to wait. And all through high school, youth group in the church, always pressuring her to try to fix her up and all this. And she was having none of it. and she lost a couple of friendships over that, but she waited. She went to DBU in Fort Worth there, Dallas Baptist, and she met her awesome prince, you know, and now we're expecting our second grandson. It's just a beautiful thing. He was only there for one semester, her husband, our son-in-law, and they met and just fell in love. And it's worth the wait is what I want to encourage mm-hmm. those young girls out there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Cassandra, it's hard to wait, but you're exactly right. It's worth the wait. I always tell girls this, and guys too, but, you know, girls don't have the ability to just start asking people out like guys can do. You know, there's still a sense. Most guys don't like a real forward type of girl. I know I never did that. But it is worth the wait, and you never settle. You always wait for Boaz yes. because God has Boaz
yeah,
out there.
Yes, yes, yeah. I came to Christ later in life. I was almost 40. So she was 5 years old when I accepted Christ. And it turned our family upside down, I have to tell you. She was in kindergarten. I immediately put her first grade in Christian school. We lived up in Boston, New England. The only Christian school was Assemblies of God in Worcester. I had to drive like 40 minutes to put her there. But she accepted Christ in second grade. Yeah, in second grade. No. Now my husband's like, what is going on? It was a really rough time. But 2 years in, he accepted Christ. And So praise God for all of that. So the only thing I ever told her when she was awful cute, you know, all the boys come around, I say just the main thing when you find a husband or getting ready, he needs to love God more than he loves you. That's the advice Amen. I give her. He needs to love God first and then you second. And I think it's worked out pretty nicely.
Amen, for sure. Well, thank you for calling in, Cassandra. That's a good word and a very encouraging word. So God bless you. We have John on the line from Louisiana. John, thank you for holding and thank you for calling Real Truth for Today.
Yes, my question is about the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Now, for Jesus, like in Matthew, it probably centered around his person, his miraculous ministry, and the Old Testament, and maybe the millennium kingdom. Mm-hmm. But as for Paul, at the end of Acts, the last chapter, he was there in his house preaching and teaching people about the kingdom of God. So my question this morning is, what should that, it didn't say he was preaching the gospel, but the kingdom of God. So my question is, what are your thoughts about his message and his proclamation of the kingdom of God?
Yeah, great question, John. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for asking that. Well, I think it encompasses a lot of things. So I think it obviously encompasses the gospel, because how do you become a citizen of the kingdom of God? And it encompasses just God's plan for the ages, culminating in the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, Revelation chapter 20, and so many verses in Isaiah and other passages. And then the eternal state. And so, you know, John the Baptist was preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus went preaching, repent for the kingdom of God is upon us. And so I think it just encompasses the breadth of what God is doing throughout history and how he came to save, send his son to save. Jesus is the Savior, obviously, and we can be a part of his kingdom and a part of what God is doing. And so our job as Christians is to shine and share and to expand the kingdom. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, the Great Commission. So thank you for calling in. Amy, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, but I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Remember the two words, shine, share. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And don't give up on the word, the dream, the vision that he's given you for your life. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.